Scott, you've been talking about Health IQ. You've been telling me that there are quizzes, and now you want to give me a pop quiz. Do you remember in school when you were sitting in class and go, it's a pop quiz? Now, that's what I feel like right now. No preparation at all. Totally vulnerable. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This one you're going to love because it's the title of the quiz is Lost Sleep. Can we catch up?
Oh, Scott, you knew that sleep is one of my favorite topics. Okay, I'm ready. And Health IQ, a life insurance policy, is interested in making sure their people not only exercise, but sleep right too.
And stay healthy so they can get better rates.
Good. I'm ready for the quiz, Scott.
Okay, this is about sleep. Question number one, it's a multiple choice.
Can people answer at home on their own as well?
Absolutely.
All right.
We can't hear them, though. A 20-minute nap has been shown to be equivalent to how much extra nighttime sleep?
Oh, that's a great question.
Number one, naps are not equivalent. Number two, 4 hours, 6 hours, or 1 hour?
1 hour. Because instinctively, I thought 90 minutes.
So you are correct. Good. It is worth 1 hour.
Good, good.
Okay, next question. Sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night may reduce the risk of which of the following health problems?
Is all of the above on there?
No.
Okay.
Arthritis.
Yep.
High blood pressure.
Go.
Osteoporosis. Inflammatory bowel disease.
Ooh, you know, I'm going to automatically go either inflammatory bowel disease or high blood pressure.
You can only pick one.
Okay, so I'm going to say high blood pressure because people that are, they need to relax a bit more. So I'm going to say high blood pressure.
You're absolutely right.
Ah, good.
Okay, third question. Lack of sleep is linked to hunger and appetite.
True.
Those sleeping less than 6 hours a night are 30% more likely to eat fast food.
Yes.
Eat healthy foods.
No.
Become obese.
Yes.
Drink more water.
Become obese because they're just pounded in the sugar trying to get some
you
energy.
You are 3 for 3, Mr. Freeman.
I'm a candidate for Health IQ insurance policy.
You know your sleep. It's a great place to check your life insurance. If you're a runner and you're healthier, you're going to get lower rates. And that's what Health IQ does. But in addition to that, is they're trying to help buoy up our intelligence of healthy living. And right. This is just one of the quizzes. They come out periodically, one or two a week, that you can take and learn about how to be more healthy.
Yeah, I like it. That was fun, Scott. Let's do that again.
Go to healthiq.com/TRN.
Trex Titanium by Aftershocks. Scott, I'm really, really surprised at how many people in the trail running community have embraced this new headset.
They have a really great promotion with Trail Runner Nation members. If you go to our partners page and you link over with the ad that's there, you can get 15% off a pair of Trex Titanium headphones.
They're really awesome. They're bone conduction. They put them right above your ear, and you can still hear your environment. You can hear somebody coming up behind you saying on your left. You can hear a car if you're out on the road, so there's complete safety.
And the batteries last surprisingly long.
They do a good job. And if you're just walking around the house listening to a podcast, you haven't closed yourself out to the rest of your world.
You can hear the door knocking.
Well, sometimes you don't want to hear that door knock. But
so go to our partners page and link over to the Aftershocks ad there, and you can get 15% off.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
The problem with the message above is that it flies in the face of what we know to be true.
We'll Candace, we are such idiots. You don't even, you have no idea.
No, I've listened to your podcast for many years, and it's, yeah. Yeah.
Frank. Yeah. I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up and open up the taps.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
And I'm Shab Shabani.
You are not Scott War.
I've been waiting all week to say that.
How come?
Because it was fun.
You didn't need to say it on the podcast.
Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Shab Shabani?
Right.
Today we have Michelle Barton. Michelle, we have to kind of explain that. Our last podcast, we did a thing called Truth or Fact or Fiction.
Fact or Fiction.
And Don made up a story about a guy named Shab Shabani who
right.
ran a marathon backwards, juggling.
No. You're
a different guy?
Yeah. You need to go listen to the podcast.
What was Shop Shop Shabani? What was his claim fame?
He was capable of slowing his own heart rate down and changing his respiration, and went out and ran a complete marathon without any training at all because he could control his own body.
And it was a complete fabrication.
Yeah. And in fact, the name Shop Shop Shabani was a false.
Yeah. So
anyway. Thanks for bringing us through that again, Scott. And it shows, once again, you are very inconsistent with retelling of a story.
Facts are overrated. So, Michelle.
What's your real nickname? I'm not buying this Shabani.
I don't have.
It sounds like a yogurt, like Chobani or something.
It does. I don't have a nickname except for Snail. Snail on the trail is what I am.
Trail snail? Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to write that down. That's good.
You're going to write that down?
Yeah, trail snail.
Well,
trail
the snail. Running store by my house is called Snail's Pace, so I guess they would accept you into their club.
Nice. I could probably be sponsored by them.
Yes, indeed.
My first sponsor.
Tell us a little bit about Michelle Scott.
Michelle Barton is someone that if you've played around on the interweb,
right,
the black web, as Don Freeman likes
to
call it.
Web,
the dark
Scott.
Web, sorry. I got to get my stuff right. Yeah. You may have seen photos of Michelle. She's been around running ultra marathons for quite a while. But you probably have noticed her because she is... The has long locks of auburn hair, and she never does it up. It's like flowing. It's like a cape as she runs down the trail. And that's who Michelle Barton is. But we found out a little bit more about Michelle Barton. She has some trail cred.
Yes, she does.
She has over 80 wins, 80 ultra wins. She's placed first place and in her second 100-mile that she ever ran, she won. Her second 100-miler, she actually won. That was Javelina 100. She has over 24 course records. She has five overall wins. And if I miss some of these, if they're better stats than what they are, Michelle, just keep quiet. If I'm underrating you, then you can correct me.
Yes, sir, Shabani Wani.
She broke five. This is the one thing that is one of the things that Michelle told us about herself that it just blows my mind. In the course of 6 weeks, she had five wins and five course records.
But let me tell you what I did on my 1 week off.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What did you do? Did you rest?
I believe it was 72 miles with Gordy Ainsley on the Western States. You know how they have the Memorial Weekend training camp? So, yeah, me and Gordy just ran like crazy.
That was on your week off?
Excuse me?
That was your week off?
Yeah, that was my week off. And then I went back the next week and slammed a race in Yosemite. You know, the Shadow of the Giants 50K?
Right.
That's one of my favorite races, too.
Wow.
So Michelle hails from Southern California. She's one of those Southern California ultra runners. Evidently, they have something in the water that makes them run fast and far. But
it's the Starbucks.
Welcome, Michelle, to Trail Runner Nation.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Michelle, I have a question for you because you started in this sport as a spectator. Your dad's a runner, and that's kind of how you grew up around this and you were attracted to it. Give us a little bit of history about your pre-running experience.
Okay. Well, my dad started running when he was around 30, as a lot of people or ultra runners do. And so my dad was running marathons, training, and running with his friends. And so I just, like, in my childhood, he had always, like, taught me to be active. Like, my parents are divorced, so whenever I would go, like, to my dad's house every weekend, we would wake up at 6 a.m., and we would go for, like, a super fun bike ride or go running or on a hike or do a race or just – it would always be super fun, but we'd always incorporate exercise. And every summer, he would take me to Yosemite, to Tuolumne Meadows, and we would do a week-long backpacking trip. And so I just found that those were the most – like, the best childhood memories of my life. And so I think that's where I kind of, like, developed the love for trails and everything. So – one year, my dad said, come on out and watch me run the LA Marathon. And I was going to music school in Hollywood at that time. So the LA Marathon was literally like a block from my house. And so I just walked out on the street and then saw him running by and I'm like, oh my gosh, my dad is crazy. Like, why would you even do that? You can like easily drive.
Yeah.
And not deal with all that. So I wasn't a runner like my whole entire life, pretty much. But I did love mountain biking and just like outdoors kind of stuff.
Did your dad get off the road and onto the trail at some point?
Yes. A great friend of ours, he's a race director, Baz Holly. He puts on a trail running series. He also puts on the Shadow of the Giants 50K in Yosemite. But this trail series is in the local mountains here, Saddleback Mountain. And every other Saturday, there's a race. And it starts with a 12K and then goes up in distance to a 15K, 18K, 21K, kind of that. So I joined my dad for one of those. The first one I did, I was pretty much last with this lady. I had no idea what I was doing. And then the second one I did, I believe I was third place. And then I thought that was a mistake. I didn't expect to get third place. And I'm like, well, if I really got third place, then I'm going to just work my ass off to get first place. So I did. And then once I started getting first place, I really liked that. So I just kept working harder and harder and harder and found that I kind of like the longer distances better. Kind of like my sweet spot was like 50K, 50 mile. Uh-huh.
Did you find that your dad was, I mean, were you looking to your dad for advice or were you in that age where you thought you knew more better than him?
Not really. Well, so my dad got me into running trails, like with that trail series, basically. That was quite a while ago, like I would say 2001, 2002. And then in turn, I got my dad into running longer distances. For example, he ran his first 50K on his 65th birthday.
Wow.
And now he's having his 78th birthday this weekend. So he's doing his traditional thing, which is running 78 miles for his 78th. So he started at 70 years old and he calls it 70 at 70. So he'll take 3 days to do that. But he's still like a super avid runner and he'll be doing like the Trans-Selkirk's run in Canada, the stage race. He runs Trans Rockies and some 50Ks. So he's out there doing his thing and loves to get first place in his age group.
Wow. I think that would probably be pretty easy. There aren't too many runners that are in his age group, are there?
I don't think there's really any. So he's pretty stoked with his pile of medals.
You know, I think I'm setting some new goals here, Freeman. If I can keep this up until I'm in my late 70s, I actually may win a race.
Well, if you want to run 78 miles, Scott, you better start now to get...
I'm working my way up.
Just kidding. Hey.
Yeah, and he's like never injured. So I don't know. He's got some magic thing going on.
You know what? There are some people just with fantastic genetics that allow them some durability, whether it's gait or just good body parts, hips, back, feet, knees, etc., that allow them just to put those miles. How's your body parts, Michelle?
My body parts now.
What kind of question is that, Freeman?
That was a nice transition.
Okay.
In the business, we call that a transition.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm happy to report they're perfect.
Good, good, good.
Like never better.
Nice.
But yeah, I've had my share of like damaged, broken, and trashed body parts over the last, gosh, 15 years of ultra running. I've had like broken ankle, broken foot, broken rib, torn meniscus, torn TFL, but never had surgery. Just kind of heal on his own, everything. But hate being injured.
So lately, or for the recent history, you've been in good shape without injury. What's the transition? What type of awareness did you? What happened to make the change?
Oh, well, I would say now that I'm running more barefoot in the Luna sandals and Vivo barefoot, I don't have any problems.
Hmm. Wow.
And before, like since I've been running so long, I've been with different teams. I've been with Saucony and Salomon, and I run in New Balance a ton. And plus I've worked for years at a running store. And so you just get to try everything available. And so I was always kind of running in a more minimalistic shoe, like the MT-100 New Balance or Saucony Kinvara, whatever. But then, like, things just weren't really working for me. Like, I had won all these races, and I felt like I was just kind of getting more injured and kind of slower and slower, and just it just wasn't there. And so then I was kind of introduced to the more barefoot type of running through my friend Mayo Cernik in Canada, who is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot, and sort of was like kind of iffy with the transition. Like, it took me quite a while. Like, I wasn't totally sold at first. I'm like, well, why would I do that if I can, like, feel the rocks and, like, I'm going to be running slower because you just got to kind of be more careful. You can't just, like, slam downhill and heel stride like a crazy person. Mm. So Barefoot Ted texted me. This was like over 2 years ago, just out of the blue, and said, hey, we would like to send you some sandals. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, definitely. That would be awesome. And so I've just been running in those and loving them.
What was your transition, Michelle? I mean, when you first, got a pair of real minimal shoes like the Vivo Barefoot or the Luna sandals, did you go out and run a 15-mile training run, or did you go test them out with a mile or two at a time? How did you transition?
Well, I'm the type of person to just, like, put it on and just go.
Okay.
Like, you can just go 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever. And I think if you are going to go that direction with deciding you want to run in Lunas or Vivo Barefoot, that you need to commit 100% and not go back and forth between shoes that have a lift and, like, run in your Lunas part of the time and then run in your whatever brand another part of the time. I just think, like, it really throws your body posture off when you're doing that, and you're just more prone to injury that way. And I don't think, like, this is for everyone, but I feel like, I mean, I dare you to put on Luna sandals and go for a run and say you're not having fun. Like, it's just I love the way it feels. There's so much joy, happiness. Like, you can feel everything. Like, you run on grass, you can feel the moisture. It's just, like, more senses, like, engaged when you're running in that.
So do you?
And it doesn't.
Do you run at all in regular shoes anymore at all?
I do. Like, I run in the Vivo Barefoot Primus Trail Soft Ground, and I run, like, when I'm doing Mount Baldy by my house, like, lately it's been a ton of snow and stuff, so I will run, or if I'm, like, in Canada doing a race or something, I would, it just depends on the terrain, but, like, Luna sandals kind of can get you over anything, just not when it's, like, super cold and snowy.
Mm-hmm. You get frostbite,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, they do have these socks, like Taboo socks. I haven't tried them yet, but I think, like, there's a, I guess, the best tool for the, the right tool for the right kind of thing. So if you're really, like, in freezing weather, like, there's no point to wear Lunas. But fortunately, living in SoCal, you can, like, run in a jog bra and shorts and Lunas kind of 24/7 all day and every day the whole year. So, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Now, one of the reservations I have about putting a sandal on or something, are my toes exposed? Because there are times that I catch a toe or I just kick a branch and I'm thinking to myself, that's why I have shoes. That's what I think. Do you have some advice for a guy like me that would like to give it a try but would like to keep all of his toes?
Well, I would say pick your feet up, and okay. I would say...
Yeah, that's. I've been told that before, just walking across the kitchen.
Watch the trail.
Okay, all right.
I would just say, definitely, you're going to get little, like, grit or rocks, like, say, in your Luna sandal, and you just kind of kick it out. It's not bad, like, how you get a little pebble inside your shoe, and it's a pain, and you have to take the shoe off kind of thing.
Right.
But, honestly, like, I've never really kicked anything too gnarly and had a problem with that.
Okay.
Like, I'm not super cautious about that. You just get so used to running in it that I don't really notice that.
How long have you been in the Luna sandal or been barefoot?
2 years.
Okay. All right.
Have you had to slow down quite a bit? I mean, you mentioned that earlier. Have you noticed that being in the sandal slows you down?
I do, but I think the trade-off is okay. Like, at the Caballo Blanco race that I just did, there were some sections that it was just kind of like a fire road, kind of steep downhill. And I was noticing that, like, I was getting passed a bit. But, I mean, I just kept with my good form and just a quicker cadence, and I was fine. And, like, this was really, like, one of the first races I ever ran with a smile on my face, like, from start to finish. So I promise you, like, it's just so much a better experience running in sandals. It's so much fun.
Did you before putting sandals on, were you ever a person prone to blisters?
Oh my gosh. If you saw like my pictures from Badwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like destroyed with a ton of blisters, but like that's a special circumstance given the heat and, you know, your feet are going to swell. And sure. I got ankle blisters and feet blisters and just like nightmare stuff. But, regularly, no, I'm not like a person that usually gets blisters.
You know, it makes, go ahead, Michelle. And then I'll make some comment that probably has no reference to our discussion. So go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I think it also depends like on what socks you wear. I wear Swiftwick and they do a pretty good job at wicking away the moisture. And I fortunately know how some people, they're known to have stomach problems or sensitive stomach, and other people have to pre-tape their feet in that. And I'm pretty durable. Like I don't have any problems like that. So fortunately, well, unless it's Badwater, but yeah. I'm pretty good on the feet department.
You know, we all have something to deal with. You know, nobody gets a free pass on everything. But I've got to think that our bodies are designed so well, and we've kind of gone over that theme, that it would make sense that we would get blisters if we put and we encased them in some kind of shoe and created this friction environment, and we could sweat. We learned on Truth or Fact that there's a lot of sweat that comes from the feet.
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect environment for blisters. And I've got to think that not wearing shoes would be a blister-free type environment. Maybe well worth moving that direction, especially if you can't figure out how to get rid of blisters, Mr. War. You are kind of a blister guy sometimes.
I own a pair of Lunas.
Oh, do you like them? Oh, you're running them.
I have run in them, not on the trails yet.
Well, give us a report.
But I have to admit, when I first put them on, I felt free. I mean, just without even walking around in them.
Yeah.
But I wear them around as my leisure footwear.
Well, you should start running in those.
I should.
Yeah, I think. How are they? How do they size? Pretty well, Scott. Yeah.
You got to go on the website.
All right, I'll check it out.
Right.
Okay.
So I have a question about these Luna sandals. You just mentioned that you came back from the Caballo Blanco run down in the Copper Canyons, where you're running with the Tarahumara Indians. That have
so epic. Yes.
Well, it sounds like you're a little passionate, but I still have a question. these are the Tarahumara Indians who make their own sandals out of tires. Did they laugh at you and say, you got your fancy Luna sandals? I can make 50 pair of those out of this one tire over here. Did they make fun of you at all?
No, they did not. And like one of my friends who had done the Caballo Blanco race 10 years ago, back when Micah True was there and everything, kind of warned me and said, hey, you know, the Rarámuris are really going to laugh at you and just be like, what are you doing? Like, you're an idiot. You have money to afford shoes. Like, we're running in these sandals we make because we, you know, they can't afford to go buy 100 pair of Nike, whatever. But it was not, it was like completely opposite. Everyone is running in sandals. It's crazy.
Even the gringos?
No, there was 50 gringos. Uh-huh. And I would say only the Luna sandals team, which was, Mayo, Eric, Snoop, and, Patrick Sweeney. We ran in the sandals. And other than that, I really didn't see any other gringos, just the team, Luna team. But all the other guys like had their homemade sandals, and they're like either running in jeans or like they're just running in those like skirts with the flowy, bright colored shirts. And like there's ladies, they're like grandmas and kicking ass, just like running in their like, they're so beautiful, like all the colors and just like the flowy cloth all over, and they're just killing it. It was like amazing to see and like to be such a minority at this race. There was over 750 runners.
My goodness.
700 Rarámuris and like 50 of us. And there was over 1,000 in the kids race, which is a day before our race. Like this is the biggest event in the entire town for the year. And they're actually running for food. Like at every checkpoint aid station, you're given a wristband. And so whether you finish the race or not, at the end, like depending on how many wristbands you have, you trade that in and they give you a substantial amount of corn because that's like their main staple of their diet. So like everybody is running, like kids and like families, like everyone just running for food. And they also actually give pesos, like a good amount of money out for like the top five female and male runners. Like I think it's equivalent to $3,000 for first place, which is pretty good.
Wow.
Is there an entry fee for the locals to run that race?
I don't think there is. Huh. I believe it's $150 like normally, but I don't know. Because we pre-registered with Luna Sandals, so we were kind of set up. But there was like, if you watch Ryan Van Duzer's YouTube videos, he was a guy that raced with us and put together a beautiful collection of videos. There are six of them, and I recommend watching every one of them. But you will see like the line of Raramuris, just like hundreds in a line, waiting for hours just to register for the race. But I really don't know the answer to that question, like if they had to pay or not. But they, a lot of them traveled like 30, 40, 50 miles just to come to this race. And so they were giving out sleeping mattresses and blankets. And they had two camps on either end of the town where they were just like cooking all kinds of food and soups and cows and things. And it was pretty cool, like things I'd never seen before in my life.
Is there a major sponsor that helps promote this?
I believe, well, Luna Sandals is a sponsor. There's a lot of different sponsors. Mas Karima, one of the nutrition products that's a pinole-based product. It's pretty amazing. And also, I believe, just like the municipality of Yerike, like the city just works really hard. Like somehow the government is involved with the race. But it's nothing like how our kind of races are with sponsors.
You know, this
it's like the,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. It's like the Chihuahua and Yerike and just like the things that are close down there.
You know, I had, this may sound a little misinformed, but how safe was it to get down there and how safe did you feel while you were down there?
That's an excellent question, because when Barefoot Ted initially proposed this to the team, I believe this was the first year where he really like was taking the team down. Like a few guys like Patrick Sweeney and Tyler have gone down there before. I think they've been down like five times before. But like my first question was like, really? Are you sure? Because I have a daughter and I really don't really want to be killed. Because I've heard all kinds of stories,
right,
like with driving, like, you know, you could be pulled over and shot or just crazy stuff. So I was kind of worried a bit. And then Barefoot Ted's like, don't worry, like, we're pros at this. This is my 10th time going down there, like nothing to worry about. And then I was like, well, what about the water? And he's like, yo, we drink bottled water. Don't worry. Like, you're good. You're in good hands. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll do this. And I promise you, like, I never felt scared or, like, unsafe at any moment at all. We were, like, really well taken care of. And it was kind of a trip. There was, like, guys with machine guns and stuff, like, at the aid stations and down in town, like, just the police and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just, you kind of get numb to it. Like, at first you're like, wait, this guy has, like, a massive gun around his shoulder. Hmm. But he's just, like, there to protect the people and protect the runners and, yeah, I felt 1,000% safe at all times.
Well,
everyone was super nice and cool. I would recommend this to anyone.
Would you? Are you going to make this an annual trip? That as long as it's you know, within your schedule.
I would love to go next year. Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
What kind of course is it? Is it? I picture Mexico in my mind. That's like running through the desert. I mean, compare it to something that you've run here in the U.S.
Well, like, okay, well, Mayo and I ran Salton Sea, the Badwater Salton Sea, which is 81 miles, you know, through the Anza Borrego Desert. And that was like over 100 degrees. It wasn't like as hot as Badwater, which was 128 degrees when I ran it. But man, it felt like Badwater. Like, oh, And there's such a difference, like if you're trained for the heat versus not being trained for the heat. Because when I did Badwater, I spent 7 weeks in the sauna and took it very seriously. And, like, this race wasn't a goal, like an A race per se. So one of my friends, he's a coach. He lives in Chihuahua, and he warned me because he saw my Instagram feed of running at Mount Baldy in the snow, and he's laughing, saying, like, you're going to be in hell pretty soon. Huh. And he beat me by over 2 hours. And, yeah, it was just, like, we were drinking water, so much water, and I don't know where it was going. Like, it was just brutally hot. But the course was basically a lot of sort of fire road, and then you hit two climbs. So there's two massive climbs in the race, and those are on single track and beautiful, beautiful trails, like awesome views. And when you're running back on the road through town, there's like a river that kind of parallels the road, and then it turns into a dirt fire road the whole way. So, like, some people just during the race went off the trail and just right into the river and just hung out there to cool down for 10 minutes. But I would say that the toughest thing about that race, like, for me, was just the heat. Like, I definitely wasn't prepared for that at all.
You roll up to an aid station. What does it look? Yeah. What does it look like? What's on the table?
Well, see, another thing was, like, the things I was warned about didn't really happen. Like, I was warned there's going to be scorpions, like, all over, like, in your room or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. And like, with the aid stations, like, people said, don't take anything. Like, they were giving out huge bottles of water. It was warm water, which was fine, but I knew it was safe. And then they were giving out, like, little cups of pinole, which is like a corn base with a chia inside of it, mm-hmm. like, just to give you some electrolytes and energy. And they were giving out, like, oranges cut up and bananas. Hmm. But, yeah. They said one of the aid stations had Coca-Cola, but we never found it. So when we ran through town again, we just stopped in the store and bought, like, an ice cold Coke because we needed it. Oh, and also there's, like, random ladies selling food and drinks, like, on the side of single track. So the owner of Mas Karima, who's done this race previously, said, bring some pesos during the race because, like, if you need it, you can just buy a Coke or buy whatever you want. And he was right. So I did that too.
How many pesos did you bring and how many did you end up with at the end of the race?
I believe that, like, I spent 20 pesos on a Coke, and that was, like, equivalent to a dollar or something. I don't know, $1.50. Everything was very reasonable there. So I think I brought, like, a couple hundred pesos actually, because I didn't know what to expect. So.
So I want to get back to this. You have a pretty extensive pedigree, and it sounds like you started, you know, really just going out there for fun to see what it's like and to hang out with your dad, and all of a sudden you're winning races with very little previous running experience. Can you explain? I mean, is it because of the genetics you got from your dad? You're just are a runner, or...
And the weekend trips, the weekend trips and cycling and hiking, and, you know, maybe you were much like Killian Jornet, as you brought up in the mountain.
Well, I wish. He's pretty much at a way higher level, but
how do you explain that?
I never really did team sports or anything like that growing up. I was into music and dance. So my thing was just, like, choreographing dance and then putting on shows or teaching dance, like, that kind of thing. I never was in, like, soccer teams or, like, anything. So, but I always loved biking and just doing outdoor kind of stuff. Like, cause my dad would just take me on crazy things. He'd be like, let's go bike, like, 6 hours on the weekend, and let's go bike, like, across Vancouver, like, when I'm 12 years old, he would plan, like, pretty cool trips and stuff. And so I think just, like, when I discovered that I was kind of good at this, I just was really loving winning. Like, I would just work as hard as I could to just keep winning races. And I was racing, like, almost every weekend, like, nonstop for a few years, just, yeah, until I would, like, run until I get injured or something like that. And I really like beating all the guys. that was like a highlight. But now, you know, the sport has like really changed from when back in the day. Like my times still stand and not many of my records have been broken, but like, wow, to see the sport where you can just sign up for a race like that morning and now it's like, oh, plan it a year in advance. It's crazy. And like the times are dropping like so fast for 100 milers and every distance. It's like superhuman. So it's,
do you have some other sports that you like doing? You, I mean, you've been out there as a, what else do you do as a cross trainer, as a, an additional activity that you love besides running?
Well, like on a daily basis, I pretty much like on average, I would just run like 20K in the morning and then go for a mountain bike ride or go to the gym or go swim. Mm-hmm. So I love kind of like all sports, but I would say my main things is like running and mountain biking is what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
You mentioned running, biking, and swimming.
I'm not doing triathlon.
I was going to ask, have you dabbled in the triathlon world?
No, and I have no desire.
Why is that?
It seems too much work and too many, like, I don't know, you know, the ultra runners are a different breed than the triathlon people with the heart rate and all that. Like, it just, it stresses me out to even think about it. Like, I just want to throw on my sandals and, like, fly out the door. I don't want to think of, do I have my helmet and my goggles and like a million things and all these transitions? Like, oh, I can't do that.
You don't want to put a spreadsheet on your watch?
No. That would be torture. But no, I like all those sports. I don't have any interest. I just want to keep running mountains and having fun. But I think it helps. Like, say if you are injured for running, then, I mean, I just go like full force into the pool or biking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice to have that as an option.
How about surfing? You're in Southern California. There's a beach.
I don't like sharks.
Who loves sharks? I don't know.
No, I don't know. Like, I'm not really a beach person. I really don't ever go there, even though I live like a mile from the beach. I might run down there occasionally, but I just love the mountains. So I don't think I'll be swimming in the ocean ever.
So difference between, did you find when you started transitioning to the sandals or minimal footwear, did your gait get modified at all, or did you find that you had a good gait before?
Well, interesting. When I ran Sinister 7 100 miler, I ran it with my Luna Sandals teammate, who weren't introduced to Luna sandals yet. This was like in 2014, but he was like into the barefoot, Vivo barefoot thing already. And when he saw me run, he's like, man, like, your stride is ugly. You have a sticky stride, this and that. I'm like, oh, really? Well, how many races have you won?
Yeah.
That's like my comeback. It's like, oh, one race. Okay, well, I won like 80, so you can shut up. But really, I did have to, you know, seriously, running barefoot is like learning a new language. It takes time to learn. The body's readjusting based on how you feel. You know, you have a lot of proprioception going on. You have to have good body posture. You have to build good habits. You got to kind of stick on that 180 cadence if possible and just land midfoot, no heel strike, relax your arms. Like, there's a lot to think about. You can't just like go from like running in Brooks and throw those on the corner and put on your Lunas and go blasting. Cause like if you're running downhill in Lunas and your heel striking, you're going to hear like a really loud slapping of the rubber. Like your body is going to kind of tell you like something is not right here. Mm. So yeah, I had to work a long time to kind of not overstride and be like lighter, quicker steps kind of thing. Because I mean, for like long, many, many years, I was just running. I didn't really know. I just knew I could like run fast and I didn't really know exactly about all this like proprioception and cadence and all this stuff. So I've learned a lot in the past couple years.
Did you learn it just by doing, or did you have some people that said, okay, now that you're in the sandals, this is what you need to do, like increase your, you mentioned increasing your cadence, or is that something that just happened because of the footwear, or did you have some coaching?
I didn't like have coaching, but like my friends, like that are with Vivo Barefoot, like Maya Cernik studied with Lee Sagsby in Prague. And I'm definitely like not any expert on barefoot or whatever, and I've never like taken courses like that, but my friends have, and there's like so many videos on YouTube about like proper technique and barefoot running, like just endless stuff that you can like learn so much just watching that and stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it's funny also because like one of our teammates, Andrew Snope, who's total badass, he runs actually barefoot. He has like some world records running like 24 hours, 137 miles barefoot. And like he never met Mayo. And when we went on like a training run together in Copper Canyon as a group, and the both of them have like the exact same, like to the T, like they look like identical twins. Like their arms are the same. Their stride is the same. It's a trip. Like they both run like beautifully barefoot.
Yeah, I want to go back to that question for a second, or your response. How many races have you won? Uh-huh. If you go out to dinner with somebody and they want to go somewhere different and they mention something that you don't like, do you throw that out there as some rationale of changing the direction that you guys are going?
Well,
because I could see that as a universal, you know.
I don't really hold anything back. Like if I'm not happy about something, I will say it right away. But it better be a vegetarian place with a lot of coffee or something.
So you're a vegetarian?
No, she's a coffee-arian.
Oh. Coffee-arian, yeah.
She drinks coffee and puts a little bit of a garnish on the coffee.
Huh. No garnish, just the coffee.
You did some deep research, Scott.
You get bonus points, Shabalawala.
Shabalawala.
No, that's trail snail.
Trail snail.
Okay, it's trail snail.
Have you ever tried just barefoot? Because you said, you know, there's barefoot, and then there's barefoot. So what's the difference between barefoot,
you know,
and barefoot?
I know, and I'm not really sure why they call, like, running in the Lunas and the Vivo Barefoots barefoot, because it's not technically barefoot. And no, I don't run barefoot. I know, like, guys on my team dabble with that, and Andrew Snope, I call him Snoop Dogg. So he is a barefoot maniac. And we were asking him, like, we had quite a long time to get to know our teammates driving in this shuttle 21 hours together from Phoenix to Copper Canyon. So we were like, yo, Snoop Dogg, like, why did you get started in this? He's like, well, man, like, I didn't want to, like, pay for shoes. So I was just running around barefoot, like, and he's crazy. He's run like a trail 100-miler barefoot, completely barefoot.
Wow.
Like grindstone or something gnarly. Like the guy is the real deal.
Does he have like leather for skin on his feet or
what? No, I don't know. His feet look fine to me.
Didn't you run a little bit with Mayo at the Tahoe 200?
I did.
Yeah, you did.
You know, there's a lot of that race that I don't remember. And
you did run with him for a little bit, and I think he ran most of that 200 miler in Luna sandals. I don't think the entire thing.
Yeah,
he switched into the Vivo Barefoot Primus, but like that was in the race.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, there's a little pause here. I'll edit that out, Michelle. No one will ever know. 39:11. I won't edit that out. Okay. Where are we going next?
I don't know.
Michelle, I want to ask about your hair, okay?
Oh, yeah. I actually want to ask you about that, too. Go ahead, Don. Why don't you ask about her hair?
I need a hair sponsor like Pantene.
Serious?
Yeah.
Why don't you put that thing in a ponytail or pigtails? Why do you always have it flowing? Is there some kind of an air conditioning system there?
No. When I'm training and racing, it is back in a ponytail. But when I'm doing pictures, there's no way it's going to be back, because I think it looks ugly back. So I just let it flow when I'm doing like photos.
Okay, so it's a photo shoot thing. You normally don't have it flowing back there.
I would be choking on my hair. Like,
that's what I thought.
It would be flying in my mouth and like I can't breathe, because I've tried it. I mean, I've done it like at Mount Baldy, we take a ton of pictures, so it's kind of a hassle to put it up, take it down, put it up. So I'll just leave it down for a while. But it gets in my eyes, gets in my mouth, and it's not really conducive to, like, running very well.
Is it, I mean, at this point in the game, it's kind of your trademark, but I mean, yeah. Did you ever think, boy, this is kind of a hassle to have this really long hair. I think I should just chop it off.
That's funny. 'Cause like when I have chopped it off and donated it to Locks for Love or just chopped it, I'm like slower automatically. Like, my hair, I guess it's like that special Samsung kind of like mythology thing. 'Cause like, you know, the long hair is power or something, but I feel way better having the hair. But it's funny because like when I run 100 milers, I actually get chafed on the lower back from my hair, like swinging back and forth, my ponytail, like across my back. Wow. But thank God for squirrel's nut butter, because from now on, that will never happen again.
That's an awesome product.
It is, no doubt. Yeah. I know if I was behind you up a hill and your hair was behind you, I like the Tevis Cup, the horses, I would hang on to that hair and have you pull me up.
Oh, yeah, you definitely should. They actually encourage that at Trans Rockies. Like, they encourage towing. So, yeah, that would be allowed for sure.
You know, let's talk about Trans.
You can give it a try.
Let's talk about Trans Rockies. I don't know a whole lot about that race. Do you, Don? Well,
let's learn about it, Michelle.
Tell us about Trans Rockies. You say your dad's into it. He still does it. Tell us about that race.
Oh, okay, sure. I've done it 9 times ever since 2007. They have all different categories. So, like, for example, I usually enter in the co-ed, like the mixed division. And so I would like run with a male partner. They have like female. They have over 80 years old combined. That's what like my dad and Gordy Ainsley would be in. And like initially they have like a $20,000 prize purse. That was pretty cool. It was sponsored by Gore-Tex, like a lot of cool prizes. And the course is beautiful. So it's 100 miles over 5 days. The first year, I believe, was 6 days. But so you run starting from Buena Vista, and then you go through Leadville. Like, you actually follow the Leadville 100-mile course up and over Hope Pass. And then you run to this place called Camp Hale, and then to Red Cliff, and then to Vail, and finish in Beaver Creek. And so basically, it's like a vacation. They take care of all the food. They have the tents set up for you if you want to hotel it. There are options for that, but it's just like a party. You kind of just run 20 miles a day, and it's just a beautiful course. They might have to shuttle you in the morning to like a starting point. Like day 2, they shuttle you to the bottom of Hope Pass, and then you run up and over it and finish by Turquoise Lake. But it's really fun. Like, the people that put it on, Aaron McConnell and Huda, it's just like super professional. Like, it's so well done. It's like 5-star event.
So, like, do you run it as a team together, or is it a relay?
No, together. But now they actually have solo options, and they even have a 3-day. So they have like, I guess, the 3-day and then the 6-day, and you can do solo or a team or however you want to do it.
So you're just going out there for a really nicely supported multi-day run with your best friends.
Super. Like, they have a shower truck, and they have all kinds of, like, entertainment.
What's a shower truck? I've never seen. Okay. What is a shower truck?
Okay, well, after you're done running, you just take your duffel bag, a towel, and whatever, soap, shampoo, and it's, like, a truck, like a semi-truck, that has, like, 12 showers inside.
Wow. I've never seen that.
Neither have I.
Oh, no?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Huh. But it's not awesome when you have to wait. Like, it's nice if you finish, like, around in the first, because you don't have to wait for it. But, like, if you finish back of the pack more, you have to wait, like, maybe half hour or 20 minutes for it. But it's not bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then they have, like, every night with dinner, they give out awards, like, bringing up the top 3 in each category and giving them prizes. And they have like a slideshow kind of video and photo recap of the day, along with dinner. And then they have like campfire, and like the food is outrageous. They have like one line for regular people, one for vegetarians, one for vegan. Like, it's crazy. Like, you can gain weight at that race if you wanted to, but it's amazing. And the course is really pretty too. It's just at altitude. So like, for me, when I really wanted to rip it and do well, like, coming from living at sea level to going to run at like the average is like above 9,000 feet, I had to really like train beforehand at altitude, like in Yosemite, and then go right to Colorado because I was dying.
Have you ever used a tent for that?
I've used the mask, like the hypoxico mask.
Yeah.
One of my friends who owns a bike shop had that, and I could just kind of use it anytime. And I really thought it'd help. Like, I could see definite benefit. Like, all these uphill races I was doing, like some shorter races, it was just like the breathing was so much easier. And then you have the power in your legs if you have your breath. So I know it's like a controversial thing. Like, some people say, oh, that's just bogus. Like, that can't work at all. But like, I was winning a lot of races when I was doing that on a regular basis, which wasn't long, because like, who has an hour a day to just like go somewhere and sit there and breathe into a mask at like 20,000 feet? But right. And it's crazy because when you do this mask thing, immediately you get cold, and then you like don't even try texting because it's like drunk texting. You know, like it's crazy. Like, don't even go on your Facebook or anything. And then you need to bring a sweatshirt because you'll be freezing to death.
Interesting.
Like, it's crazy, but I think it works. Yeah.
Yeah. How long did it take you to see a difference? Did you use it for a day or a week or a month? I mean, when can someone expect to see a change?
I was doing it for months. Just because, like, my friend said, come by, like, anytime. And yeah. You just need to purchase your own mask, mm-hmm. and then you're just there. And so I would say people actually purchase the kind of program you can, I would say 6 weeks would probably be, like, super ideal.
Yeah.
But some people do it for, like, 4 weeks. But I was doing it, like, for probably a year and a half off and on. Like, if I had a race coming up, I really needed to do well, I would just go and start doing the altitude training.
Huh. Nice.
Hey, Michelle, so you've been doing this for a while, and you have quite a few wins. How has your training changed over the years, like as far as what you do and the intensity and duration and stuff?
Well, like when I first started and stuff, I would run like a 10K. And then I would mountain bike either once or twice if I had the time. So sometimes I would even be mountain biking more than running. And then I would swim. And so I would get in like 3 to 4 hours a day. And so now I kind of cut out the swim. And so I'm kind of just like running more, because I feel like I'm not that great at the 100 milers. Like, I feel like that's something I need to and want to get better at, because I feel like I've done what I wanted to do with like 50Ks and 50 milers and even some 100Ks, but I still have like challenges definitely at the 100 mile or further distance. So I've just been running more and just doing like some more weights at the gym, like more leg kind of weights, presses and goblet squats kind of thing, and just still mountain biking. But like only like an hour when I go out, like, which is probably 5 or 6 days a week.
Michelle, what's a goblet squat?
Well, you take the kettlebell and you just kind of hold it and just squat.
Oh.
Squat all the way down and up. So like, I will do it with 15 to 20 pound weights, uh-huh. with the kettlebell. But oh my gosh, like the first time I did that, I was sore for like 5 days after that. It really works.
I have a question. We started this podcast. We talked about some of your background, and you just slipped in music school in Hollywood, as if we were as if we weren't going to catch that. Well, we did, and I wrote it down. Tell us, what instrument do you play? What do you do? What kind of musical stuff?
I was in a few bands. Like, we played at the Whiskey and the Roxy and Gazzari's Goodies Nightclub. I play guitar, so I went to school in Hollywood at Musicians Institute for guitar. I like went to summer session after I graduated high school. It was like a 3-month thing, and decided, well, I want to just go the whole time. And so I went for the full year and graduated, and just was in a few bands. And then like when school was over, kind of like moved back to Laguna Niguel, and then I started teaching dance and didn't really play guitar. And I have all my guitars, but I don't play them. So
what kind of guitars, what kind of lead guitar, rhythm guitar, you know, what do you play? Do you play Spanish, Latin?
I was playing lead. My dad even taught me, because my dad plays guitar.
Uh-huh.
So I took classical guitar initially, like in college at Saddleback. And then I was just taking private lessons and then just started with the bands. And so I was into the Guns N' Roses. Ozzy was a huge influence. Mm. Metallica, Pantera.
Wow, you were rocking
bands.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Michelle, can you play Enter the Sandman?
I could play Fade to Black, but probably can't play it unless I practiced it for months.
We may need to get you to get on and record something so we can put an outgo song on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Do you have anything in your archives, some MP3 files that we can close
oh,
this
my gosh,
out with?
No way.
Oh, yeah. No, we're serious because we will do that.
We don't like to play royalties, so we're always looking for free music.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have?
Free music? Oh man, I think you need to talk to Victor Ballesteros, the rock star ultra runner.
We've used his music, his voodoo
voodoo switch.
Hey Michelle,
they're very, very good.
Yeah.
Back to the dance thing. Do you think?
God, you guys are killing me.
Do you think dance has helped you with your proprioception and your biomechanical coordination
for
running?
Yes. I believe it helps with, you know, when you're running down a rocky trail, you need good balance and posture, and definitely.
Do you ever pirouette when you're running downhill?
I do grand jeté. I do like pas de deux, pirouette. I do it all.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have no idea what those are.
She was talking another language there, Freeman. I didn't hear her either.
Pirouette is like turning, like, you know, like twisting around and around and around. And it's really fun. I can show you sometime.
Yeah. She does that when her hair is down so that it kind of flows around.
Exactly. You got to get the full effect.
Yeah, Michelle, this has been a fun conversation. Something tells me it's not going to be our last because there's a lot to discuss, and you have a lot of good comments. So we need to do this again.
And just a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, are you running part of this 78 miles with your dad this weekend?
Yes! I'll have to email you guys his itinerary.
Please do. Maybe
take some photos. Yeah. We'd love to see some photos too.
Oh yeah, I'll be blasting it out on Instagram. He's gonna be starting at his house in Irvine. He doesn't live very far from me, like 14 miles, and then he'll be where I live, like near Alisa Wood Canyons Wilderness, and we're meeting at my Starbucks like Sunday morning.
Of course,
and
then a Starbucks.
He'll be continuing. Yeah, it's got to be like Starbucks 2 to 3 times a day, or the world is not right, which was kind of difficult in Mexico. But fortunately, Barefoot Ted had a friend, Cece, who's beautiful. I love her, and she gave us coffee every morning. So other than that, we would have probably not been able to run the 50 miles without CC.
Where can we find these pictures? Give us your social media handles so that we can follow your dad and you this weekend.
Oh, well, my Instagram is Michelle M. Barton.
Okay.
M like the initial. And then, Facebook is Michelle Barton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, all you need to know unless you want to follow me on Strava.
Okay.
I want to follow you up a hill so I can hang on to that ponytail and get drug up the hill. That's what I want to do. So
that might be good training.
We're going to release this weekend so that people will be able to hear it and keep an eye on your dad's travels, because I'm excited. 78 miles over 3 days. That's awful cool.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah,
like he's doing amazing. All his training partners are like my age. And he's just out there every day. Just he likes to bike too, but mostly just running a lot and just enjoying it. He's always went to the Mount Everest base camp last year for his birthday. That's how he celebrated, and they hiked like 80 miles. So,
Michelle, what do you do on your birthday to celebrate?
Are you following? This birthday, I ran like a marathon, I don't really do too much for my birthday because my daughter's birthday is 2 days before mine, so it's more about her.
Yeah.
So I don't really care. Like, we can just erase my birthday.
I thought maybe you were following in the traditions of your dad But you're just kind of bypassing yours and focusing on even the next generation, and that's cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, my dad is a big numbers guy. He's an aeronautical engineer, so he always has to like create something with numbers and fun stuff. And so, yeah, I'm proud of him for doing this.
Well, good, good. Let's let you get on to your day and get prepared, because I know you had a hard stop on this, and we don't want to encroach upon that, because we do want to ask you back again and explore some new topics.
Thank you. It would be a pleasure. I would love to.
All right, Michelle. Thank you very much for joining us. And what's up? What's next for you? What's your big? What's your A race this year?
My A race is Sinister 700 Miler in Alberta, Canada, because I ran it in 2014, and I believe I can do better there. So I'm also running the Blackspur 100K in Canada in August. So, since I've done so many races here in California, like, how many times can you do the same race? Like, I just can't get super inspired and excited about that. So I'm kind of like, that's why I really love the Mexico trip, because it really just like rejuvenated my love for like racing and seeing new places, meeting new people. Like it's just like, oh my gosh, I would go back tomorrow if I could. Hmm. So yeah, new places.
What's your favorite race of all time?
My favorite what?
Race. Running. Ooh, race.
That's a really good question, because there's so many that I mean, I have like a soft spot for Javelina just because I've done well there, and I like that race. Jamil does a good job. I love the Trans Rockies. That's another one like close to my heart.
Right.
I love the ones in Canada for sure, and I love the ones that my good friend Baz Holly puts on, like the Shadow of the Giants 50K in Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And I will participate in like shorter distance trail races too. I just I'm open to like any distance, but just kind of want to work on the longer stuff.
I guess
for this year.
I guess that's kind of like asking which is your favorite kid, and it's not fair. They're all your favorite, depending on which one is with you at the time or what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. But I've never done a 200 miler.
Well, that's on your list. That's good. You can make that happen. What do you think about that distance?
I think that would be awesome.
You're intrigued.
Yes, very much.
Which one would you pick? So there's a couple out there.
Three. I think Moab. Moab would be super cool. And like the Tour de Gens. And that would be so difficult and hard and beautiful and amazing. Like anything in Europe would be epic.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Well, that's fun stuff. Let's make sure all this happens, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you, Scott and Don. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
All right, have a good weekend and run
Moss.
Hey. See, I will.
You know, we would like to get you on a game show, Michelle, because you have a ton of energy, and it would be great to get you on. Would you consider doing that?
Absolutely, 1,000%. I'm down.
Is there such thing as 1,000%, Don?
Yes, there is, according to my world.
You know what? Before this podcast, I would have said no, but now...
You believe it?
Yes.
All right, Michelle.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me.
And wish your dad the very, very best, and support him.
Yes.
And we look forward to him achieving that 78-mile goal.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
I will tell him.
Tell him to listen to the podcast and some of those miles. He's got nothing else to do. He's just out there running.
I will.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.